I was listening to a sermon this last week by my son-in-law, Luke Proctor, and he was saying that his father, Matt, had given him some parental advice recently. In fact, he referenced it as the best parenting advice he had ever received. Now, keep in mind, Luke and Rebecca, our daughter Rebecca, have three sons. Judah is the oldest. He's 4 years old. And Luke's dad said to him, "Son, bribe your kids to memorize Scripture." Think about that. Bribe your kids to memorize Scripture. Do whatever it takes to get God's Word into their heart. And I think that's pretty good advice. Bribe them with candy. Bribe them with gum. Bribe them with money. Bribe them with snacks. Or if you're health conscious, bribe them with gummy bear vitamins. Bribe them with a banana. Bribe them with an apple. Whatever it takes. You know what your kids like. Bribe them, or we could say it this way, reward them as they memorize the Word of God. You may want to use these monthly memory verses to get started. Now, if you have younger kids, you may even want to shorten the verse a little bit. I will have this on the screen. This is the verse that Russell just quoted to each of us. If you have young kids, you might have them memorize, "My sheep hear my voice." And if they're a little bit older, but not quite up to this whole verse, you might have them memorize this, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." But bribe your kids to memorize the Word of God, because the Word of God can change their life. And maybe this exercise would propel you into something even more than once a month. These verses, we're having one verse per month for you to be working on. And I'm hoping that you're working on these monthly memory verses. But as you get into this and you have little kids and you begin to find out how quickly they can memorize, you may want to have more than one verse a month for them to memorize. I thought I would try this with Cindy. I told her if she would memorize this month's memory verse, I would bribe her with a big kiss. And she ran the other direction. I don't know. I don't understand. Bribery did not work for her. But would you say this verse with me, please? "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." That's from the New American Standard Version. If you're reading from the New International Version, it says it this way, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me." And last week, if you were here, you may remember we talked about that God wants us not just to hear His voice, He wants us to listen to His voice. And as we listen to His voice, that should lead us towards obedience. And I pray that that would be true for each and every one of us, that our ears would be open to the voice of Jesus, that we would be listening to His voice, and that we would be seeking to obey whatever He says to us. "Follow me, and I will fill you up with my Holy Spirit." That's our theme from last week, and actually it's going to be our theme over the next 5 Sundays, including today, as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, being filled up with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." I want to ask you, have you ever asked Jesus Or have you ever asked God the Father to fill you up with His Holy Spirit? That's something we should ask God for. I read from someone just recently, maybe we aren't filled up with His Spirit because we haven't ever asked Him for that filling. We really should ask God to fill us up with His Holy Spirit. The more that the Spirit is in us, the less room there is for self. Dear God, would you fill me up with your Holy Spirit? Would you fill us up with your Holy Spirit? Would you fill this church with your Holy Spirit? That should be a prayer that we pray regularly, and that our heart, our mind, our ears would be open to the Holy Spirit to come and to fill us to overflowing. I looked on the internet this last week as to what the role of the Holy Spirit is in our life. And there's all kinds of articles for you to read about that. One article suggested that there are at least 30 things that the Holy Spirit does for us. Over the next few Sundays, we're going to be taking a look at some of those things that were on that list of 30. Today, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit convicts us. Now, some might wonder why I would start there. And really, that's not where I'm starting, because last week we started this series and I said the Holy Spirit is our helper and the Holy Spirit is our counselor and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And today, He convicts us. And maybe I'm starting there today because Jesus, He gave great emphasis to this point as He's talking to His disciples about the Spirit's coming. He's saying to them, the Holy Spirit is going to come to you and He will convict you. Let me read to you from John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. We read this verse last week. He says, but if I go, I will send Him to you. And He, the Holy Spirit's not an it. The Holy Spirit is a He. And He, when He comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me, and concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. And so, according to the words of Jesus in this passage, the Holy Spirit will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. So let me ask you this question. Who is the world that the Holy Spirit is going to convict? Now, certainly it would be unbelievers who need Jesus in their life. The Holy Spirit will convict them of their sin and the need for righteousness, and He will convict them of judgment. So don't you think too that the Holy Spirit convicts believers of those things? Of sin and righteousness and judgment? I remember about 7 years ago, I preached on this passage and suggested that the Holy Spirit convicts all of us of sin. And I had a person come to me after the sermon. They were really upset with me, saying that the Holy Spirit convicts only those who are in the world. In other words, this person was saying the Holy Spirit convicts only those who are unbelievers. And he accused me of mishandling the text, which to me is a very serious accusation that he brought against me. And I said to him, straight to his face, I said, do you not feel the Holy Spirit's conviction in your heart when you sin? And he really didn't have anything to say to that. I know I feel the Holy Spirit's conviction in my heart when I sin, when I fall short. He is knocking on my door, letting me know about it. Now, not in a condemning way, but he is telling me about it. He is wanting to lead me to repentance. He convicts, I think, all of us of our sin, if we'll listen to him. The word for world in the original language is cosmos. When Jesus says he will come and convict the world, that Greek word is cosmos. It is the same Greek word as what we read in John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved what? The world, that he gave his one and only Son. He loves all of us. The Holy Spirit came to convict all of us and to draw us near to the Savior. So for a moment, let's talk about how the Holy Spirit convicts the unbeliever. And one way, of course, is through the Word of God. And that is why it is so important, as we witness to people, that we speak to them the Word of God. In Acts chapter 2, Peter spoke the Word of God to the people on Pentecost, that Jewish holiday. The people had gathered there in Jerusalem, and Peter, along with the rest of the disciples, stood up and they preached to them the Word of God, saying to them, that fellow that you crucified just a few days ago, he was the Son of God. And verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart. The New International Version says it this way, they were cut to the heart. The Word of God is like a sword that cuts to the very core of a person's inward being. My brother-in-law, Dave, used to say that people will respond to the Word of God in one way or another. They will respond positively or negatively, but they will respond. They cannot remain neutral to the Word of God. This book is the truth, and it is convicting. It is powerful, and it's so sharp. It's like a sword. It's able to cut through the facade and stir a person's inner being. Now, thankfully, these people in Acts chapter 2, as they heard the Word of God preached to them, they responded positively to what they were hearing. They said to Peter, what shall we do? That tells me they believed Peter and what he was saying. They understood. They had crucified the Messiah. They had crucified the chosen one, the Son of God. And it got them right here in the heart. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter's response to them was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you keep reading there in chapter 2 of Acts, it says that they responded to what Peter told them to do. Verse 41, they received the word into their heart, and 3,000 of them were baptized into Jesus. They responded positively to the word of God that was spoken to them. You flip over a few chapters to chapter 7 of Acts, the Pharisees who were listening to Stephen speak the word, they didn't have such a positive response. Let me read to you Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 58. Now when they heard this, speaking of Stephen's message that he has just spoken to them, when they heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice, and they covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, why did the people respond to Stephen in this way? It's because the word of truth convicted them. They were cut to the heart too. But instead of, like the people in Acts 2, instead of responding positively, they responded negatively. They were unwilling to receive the word into their heart. They, in fact, resisted it. They rebelled against it. In fact, they're called by Stephen as being people who were stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their hearing. It's evidence to us that when the word of God is spoken, people will respond to it in a positive way or a negative way. And this is why when we witness to people, we don't just tell them our opinion, we don't just tell them what we're thinking, we need to tell them what the word of God says, because this is the book of authority. This is what we place our lives on. This is absolute truth right here. And believe me, there is no greater blessing than when you speak the word of God to someone and they respond positively. I was thinking about just a few weeks ago, I went into James and Tracy Washburn's home on a Saturday afternoon, and Tracy's mom, Levina, and her sister Jody were sitting there, and they were ready to receive the word of God. And I spoke God's word to them. And they were so receptive, so willing to do what God's word was telling them to do. It's a blessing to be used by God in that way. Speak the word of God to people. And Jesus says that the fields are white unto harvest. In other words, there are people out there who are ready and willing to receive the word of God. They're just needing somebody to tell them the truth. They're needing somebody to point them in the right direction, because what they've been getting from the world, it's not enough for them. It's not giving to them what they need. We need to be bold enough to speak the word of God to people, and not only speak the word of God to people, speak to them your testimony. In other words, what is Jesus doing in your life? How has he changed you? How has he made an impact on your life? Speak your testimony to people, and God can use that testimony too to convict people. Tell people your story. People are interested in hearing a story. They want to hear your story. You know what else will convict people? Is your love to them. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That's what John chapter 13, verse 35 says. Jesus was speaking there. As you walk the second mile with people, you will point them to Jesus. As you forgive people and turn the other cheek, you will point people to Jesus. As you meet people's needs and show kindness to them, you will point people to Jesus. Think about this. Your life may be the only Bible that some people will ever read. There's folks out there that may not ever pick up a Bible to read it for themselves, but they'll watch you. They'll see you and how you're responding in situations and how you're responding to them. And your life may be the Bible that they're needing to hear and be confronted by the truth that's in you, shining through you. Yeah, I've told you that story of my brother Tom out in Colorado reaching out to his neighbor. You remember that story? He's helping her dig weeds out of her pasture. From 6 o'clock in the morning to 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he's out there in the pasture with a shovel, digging weeds with her, helping her. And his act of love to her opened her heart to hear the gospel, and eventually she gave her life to Jesus. The Holy Spirit will convict the unbeliever through the Word of God, through your testimony that you speak to them, and through your love that you show to them. Let me ask you this, though. The Holy Spirit, will He not also convict us who are believers? I think for sure He will. We're all sinners. And so when we sin, the Holy Spirit will convict us of our sin. When we fail to show love, the Holy Spirit will be alerting us to that if we'll listen to Him. When we say things that we shouldn't say, the Holy Spirit will be knocking on our heart's door and convicting us of sin. I'm sure you've heard His conviction knocking on your heart's door, haven't you? I have. It can be pretty loud. I mean, the Holy Spirit can knock pretty loud on our heart's door. He can be pretty convicting towards us. We need to listen to Him. He's not condemning us, but He is trying to draw us nearer to Jesus. He's leading us to be repentant of our sins. I'm mindful of Jesus' words in John 8:47. He says, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." That's become one of my new favorite verses out of John's writing. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. We need to hear God's voice through the Holy Spirit. And His voice at times can be pretty loud. The Holy Spirit, not only does He convict us of sin, but He also convicts us of righteousness. It was a week ago yesterday. I was doing a honeydew job for Cindy. She was wanting one of her flower beds tilled. And so that's what I was attempting to do. Here a year or two ago, she bought this little bitty tiller. I don't have a lot of good to say about this little tiller. It's just a little bitty tiller about that wide. It's a two-stroke engine. And I discovered pretty quick, it can be a booger to start. And I have to tell you, there isn't anything that gets to me faster than an engine that won't start or won't run right. I mean, it can just get to me really, really fast. And I know I had pulled on that cord 1,400 times. Or at least it felt like it. And I was ready to scream and say things that I shouldn't say. You've been there, haven't you? You've been in that situation. And the Holy Spirit was talking to me. He's saying, be calm. Be calm. Be self-controlled. Don't say those words that you're wanting to say. My wife was standing right there. It would have been embarrassing too. But he's convicting me of righteousness. He's convicting me to be self-controlled. He's convicting me to practice what I preach. Not in a condemning way. He's wanting me to be like Jesus. He's wanting me to draw into the likeness of Christ. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here when he's talking to his disciples about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the helper, the counselor, he will come to you and he will convict you of sin. He will convict you of righteousness and the need to be like Jesus. And his knocking on the heart's door can be pretty loud. And it can be that voice that you know his voice. And we need to listen to him. So there I am pulling on that cord. And it starts here and there, and I'm using starter fluid. I'm spraying that starter fluid in it, and it'll start and then it'll die just immediately. And we went on with this for quite a while, 1,400 times worth. And then it's like he says, the gas is bad in it. So I turned that thing over and I poured that gold out, you know. The price of gas right now is like gold. And so I'm pouring it out onto the driveway and I put new gas in it. And first pull, it started and it ran like a champ. I'm thinking the Holy Spirit's a pretty good mechanic. But, you know, the Holy Spirit, he wants to help us be more like Jesus. And so, he will convict us towards righteousness. He'll speak to you. I'm not saying you're going to hear an audible voice, but it'll be clear. It'll be recognizable. The Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, in your mind, wanting to help you be more like Jesus. And I'm sure you've sensed his prompting to you towards righteousness. Maybe he'll prompt you to show love to your neighbor. And that's something that we've been trying to do, Cindy and I, over these last few years. Our neighbor right to the west of us is named Johnny. And each of us have just right at 5 acres. So we mow, both of us, we mow the probably half of that every week. But then there's that last half, that second half, that is more of a pasture. And I have a Kubota tractor with a bush hog, and I mow my back pasture, and Johnny doesn't have a Kubota tractor with a bush hog, and so you know what I'm doing? I'm watching, I'm looking, keeping my eyes on his pasture, and a couple of times over the course of the summer, I'll mow his pasture for him just to show love to him. He can't hardly stand it. And I'm saying that because he can't hardly stand me mowing his pasture. He wants to pay me for it. I say, no, Johnny, I'm not doing this for you to pay me. I love you. And I said that to him for the very, you know, here a couple years ago, I said, I love you. And I thought, oh my, what did what did I just say? And I wondered, how's he going to respond? You know what Johnny said back? He said, I love you too. I just want to show some love to my neighbor. And that's something that God has put on my heart. And Cindy, quite often, she's showing love to Johnny and his family. She makes cinnamon rolls for him and takes them over. And I found out he likes coconut cream pie the way I do. And so if you make me a coconut cream pie, it gives me an opportunity to witness to my neighbor Johnny, because I'll take part of it over to him. Not all of it. Just trying to show some love to him. The Spirit is prompting me in those ways. He'll prompt you in those ways too, to show love to your neighbor if you listen to him. And he'll prompt us to do good in Jesus' name. It's not so that Kevin looks good or Cindy looks good. It's so that God looks good. Jesus looks good. Will we listen to his prompting? He'll prompt us to forgive our offender. He'll prompt us to pray for those who have cursed us. He'll prompt us to bless them, those people. He'll prompt us to give our money to someone who's in need. He'll prompt us to make a phone call to someone who's been missing church, or maybe to text them and say, hey, missing you in church. He'll prompt us to speak a word of encouragement to someone. He'll prompt you to love with Jesus's kind of love. The question is, will we listen to his prompting? I'll tell you what often happens to me. Maybe it happens to you too. We'll sense his prompting. We'll hear his voice to us of what we should do to our neighbor out of love. And we'll say, I'll get to that later. And then we don't do it. Let's have an obedient, urgent obedience to the Spirit's prompting in our life. And Jesus says too, he'll convict us of judgment. Particularly, this is true, I think, of the unbeliever. And the reason I say that is because if you are a believer in Jesus, you don't have to fear the judgment. Amen? You don't have to shudder at the judgment of God, because you know that you are under grace. You are in Christ, and the Holy Spirit wants to assure that of you. In fact, that's one of the things that we'll talk about in the weeks to come as we think about these roles that the Holy Spirit plays in our lives. One of the roles is he wants to assure you of your salvation in Jesus. He wants you to know without a doubt that you are a child of God. But for the unbeliever, he's knocking on their heart's door, and he will convict them of the judgment that is coming. He wants to convict them of the truth of Romans 6:23, where it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to the unbeliever and say to him, the judgment is real. There really is a hell. And you need Jesus. He's the only way you can be saved. He's your only hope. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to be speaking to the mind and the ears and the heart of the unbeliever. And we pray for the unbeliever to listen. So let me ask you, what is he convicting you of? Is there anyone here today that he's convicting you to repent of your sins and be baptized into Jesus? If there's somebody here that has never made that choice, I know without a doubt the Holy Spirit is knocking at your heart's door. Don't resist him. Don't argue with him. Don't come up with your own logic and reasoning. as to why that's not necessary. Just do what he says. Maybe the Holy Spirit is convicting you of a certain sin that you're giving into. The goal of his conviction, I've said it, this is the third time, the goal of his conviction is not to condemn you, but rather the goal of the Holy Spirit in convicting you is to draw you closer to Jesus. He wants to bring you to repentance. He wants to help you overcome that sin and to give you freedom from that sin. It's our responsibility to listen to him. Maybe he's convicting you in the area of righteousness. He's convicting you to do the right thing, to be the right person. Maybe, I don't know, is he convicting you that you need to be in the Word more regularly? Is he convicting you that you need to pray more? That you need to love more? To forgive more? To be free with your money to Jesus? Is he convicting you of that? Whatever he's saying to you, listen to him. He's wanting to draw you to the Savior. Please understand, we can try and try to do the right thing and be the right person, but we're still going to have a sin problem. And so the Holy Spirit wants us to understand that we need his grace and his righteousness. I love 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus died so that we could live. And he gave us his Holy Spirit to help us follow him better. And so may we listen to him, and may we follow him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your Spirit that you've given to us. And he's pointing us towards Jesus. May we listen. May we obey. May we follow Jesus fully. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.